Death Among the Apple Trees by Lisa Whistlecroft.
Did you notice that the opening theme is very didgeridoo-like?
Oh, come to think of it, you mentioned that. Absolutely.
See?
Uses those techniques we all recognize.
Mm-hmm. Whatever they are.
Whatever they are, yes.
You're gonna have to send me a didgeridoo, aren't you?
I suppose. How about just a rain stick, a small one?
Yes.
A flute with pebbles inside.
We could send a digi.
A digi.
Just a digi.
And leave the do there.
Tell us, we're going to hear this long piece of yours. So before we...
We don't have to listen to it.
We'll just edit it.
Exactly.
No, seriously, before we play it, tell us a little about it and also about what you're going to be doing coming up in the near future, where your career is headed, or if you don't like the word career, where your composition is headed. And if you don't like the word composition, what noises you're going to make next.
Yes, and why you're not going to Uxbridge to utter them.
Well, I'll answer that one first. I'm not going to Uxbridge first to utter them because I still don't know where Uxbridge is. But if I ever get a concert in Uxbridge, I'll send you a postcard from it.
Excellent.
The long piece is it grew from somebody else's idea. I have a colleague at work who writes what he calls landscape texts, which are texts that explore the relationship between people and landscape and wander between personal reminiscence and description of the landscape. And they're intended for reading in performance. And he'd seen The Saturated Moment, the dance piece, last summer, and he came over and saw me one day and said, I'm doing a reading of my landscape text. Would you be interested in writing something as a soundscape to go with it? And I thought, that sounds fun. So I said, send me the text, because, of course, if I'd found the text very difficult or it hadn't suggested anything to me, then it wouldn't have been fair to say yes, I'll try and do something. And he sent me the text and I thought it was lovely, so I set about trying to create something that would run alongside it, and it was rather funny the way it didn't work out in the end, because he suggested that I make something that sounded as if it was what the author was hearing. And so as he was walking, it's about a walk that he took and various landscapes that he went through and what they reminded him of. So a lot of it was little autobiographical fragments, which, of course, included things that he might have heard in his imagination. So I created something that was a kind of mixture of the sound of somebody walking through a natural landscape and the sort of sounds that were conjured up by what he was talking about. And we tried the two together. And it was ghastly because it was just like, well, soundtrack for somebody walking and thinking about things. Oh dear. Okay, so we've got the sound of somebody walking while they're walking. That's not exactly novel, is it? And
so you do the best thing, which is, of course, to get rid of the writer.
Well, no. So the next stage was, he said, look, yeah, actually what he'd really liked about the dance piece was the way it kind of told the same story at the same time, but in a different way. So he said, could I make it perhaps do that? And that was much more fun. And I made something which I think did that. It told the same story, but in sound rather than in words, and in a much less representational way. And we put the two together, and he took the sound, and I'd recorded his speaking of it to give myself the timings so that I could make sure that things fitted. And he went away, and I didn't hear from him for 3 days, and I thought, oh, now what? And he came back and he said, I love it, but it tells the story.
Oh, no.
And, well, the next logical phase would actually be to take my words out of it, wouldn't it? And unfortunately, this had all arisen because he'd been invited to go and perform his landscape text in front of an audience. And they were rather expecting him to turn up and perform his landscape text.
Do it.
Just sending me along was not really going to be what they wanted. So we had a good laugh about it, and he said maybe he'd better just go and do his landscape text the way he'd first intended it. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'll carry on. Because the idea, we've still got ideas that we will work together in some way on it. Once I didn't need to leave the kind of space in the sound textures and in the volume for him to be heard, it gave me a chance to extend it a little bit in, you know, in kind of how loud and how quiet it got. And also, I'd been carefully leaving it quite sort of thin so that his voice would be heard. I didn't want to drown him out in the texture as well as just in the volume. So once I knew I wasn't going to be trying to act as an accompaniment, I could thicken it up a bit, and so that was it. But its length is still precisely the length of his spoken text, in case we do decide to put them back together at some stage. But because it was a long text and a very beautiful text, my piece is 23 and a half minutes long, because that's how long it takes to speak the text. But it's about walking and about daydreaming. And I think that if it sends people to sleep, then that's not totally inappropriate.
The title?
The title is Walking with Ghosts, because it was going to be Walking with Carl's text, but then we took Carl's text out. So it's kind of Walking without Carl's text. But the ghost of Carl's text is there all the way through it, because that's what it's based around.
Now, did you say walking with goats?
No, ghosts.
Because they make it, oh, right, because they make it. They make a slightly kind of different sort of sound.
Sort of sound. No, yes, no, yes, there yes, isn't a right. single.
And plus, they have those bells.
Oh,
she used those in the.
No,
later
I've
piece.
Already exactly. used them. Right. I never use things in later pieces that I already used. So having used
not
having used
not intentionally
the goats bells. No goats. Not a single goat.
Mm-hmm. Or at least no goat was harmed in the manufacture of this piece.
Absolutely not.
That's good for us to know.
So where are you headed with your composition?
Why, to Uxbridge, of course.
Yes, you know she's going to have to go there.
Of course.
I am. I'm going to have to go there just to send you a postcard. Where am I headed? Well, 6 years ago, I...
No, we're going into the future, not
yes,
into
not
the past.
Yeah, but you can't contextualize the future without a little bit of the past. 6 years ago, I registered to do a part-time master's degree in composition. And so where am I headed to in the future? The answer is in a couple of days' time, I'm headed to hand in most of these pieces as a portfolio of compositions in the hope of getting a degree from the University of Birmingham. And so that's actually terribly exciting for me, to say nothing of, you know, taking 6 years to do a one-year master's degree is not what the original plan was. After that, I fully intend to carry on doing this kind of thing, but I always seem to respond to something that turns up. So I haven't the faintest idea what the next piece is going to be, because the next piece will be whatever turns up on my doorstep and says, let's do this. And it might be a thing, it might be an idea, it might be a person. And I don't know. That's, for me, the process. As I said, you know, if you turn up with a blank sheet of paper or a blank piece of time in a computer and say, write a piece, I'm just going to freeze and say, oh, no, I don't know what to do. Something will turn up that's interesting and I want to play.
We look forward to it.
I guess we do.
Lisa Whistlecroft, thanks so much for joining us today on Calvus and Damien
in the House.
And we look forward to your next pieces. And now we will hear the long one.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you for having me. It's been enormous fun. I hope it's fun for the people who listen.
Well, they've got 23 minutes to consider that. Here it is, Walking with Ghosts.
Goats.
Goats.
Mm-hmm.